Congressman John Chimkus on the other end of the line. John, how are you? You've been busy, man.
I've been busy. It's August. We should be getting around, and I've been down in Metropolis. As you know, I was in Marion yesterday. I'm headed to Effingham and Mattoon today, and was down at Joppa, at Lafarge also. So, yeah, no, it's good.
You know, John, what I was kind of interested in is the reaction to some people about the coal industry. It's almost like you're conspiring with bioterrorists, you know? Do you get that rhetoric, too, pointed at you?
Well, of course. I mean, and I'm used to it because, especially in this era of keep it in the ground movement, no fossil fuels, you know, people lose sight of the great benefits that has occurred to the health and welfare of technology, fossil fuels. I used to hold up this little 6-horsepower engine just to make the point that this little engine does the same work as, in essence, 6 horses. So that's technology, that's advancement. And for our opponents to say, you know, we can't have continuous improvement, and to try to spin the story that the electricity generation of today is the same as it was 40 years ago, it's just ludicrous. But those are the things you have to fight against.
You know, I was talking to Congressman Mike Boss, and I don't know that I was surprised, but he said, we have over 600 bills, good bills, that the House has presented to the Senate, and they're not getting their job done.
Well, the Senate is a different animal, and they move at their own pace, and it's frustrating. We're able to move, you know, small bills rapidly. We have rules. They really don't have any rules there. So when we have good bills that everything from you know, a lot of this, the opioid crisis, to financial reform, to healthcare provisions, it's our expectation and hope that some of these get rolled into a bigger package post election. But yeah, they are not known for moving quickly.
But 600, I mean. You know, they talk about the House of Representatives in Illinois is the place where all good bills go to die. And I keep wondering what kind of, when you're setting on 600 things, what type of things are we setting on that could help this country? And that's one of the items that kind of bothers me, you know, because we actually, I mean, in the past, I've talked about Democrat and Republican chairpersons ago. Our biggest success was stopping things. And I can't help but wonder if that's not part of the role here, too.
Well, you know, the founding fathers created a bicameral legislative body, and you know, over the years, the rules of each chamber have either hurt or helped them in the process of being able to move bills. I think the filibuster and the 60 vote threshold has really harmed the ability of the Senate to move bills and use that process to obstruct. But that's, you know, I could spend all my time complaining and worrying about it, but I'm not a senator. I can't change that. So I just worry about the slice of the world that I can be involved with.
You know, it's interesting. If you drive from your district, from the southernmost to the northernmost, and you just drive and you stay in John Chimkus' district, a lot of people say, well, you don't see very much. You don't see anything. Well, yeah, you do. Cornfields, soybean fields.
Yeah.
Cattle fields,
yeah.
And you know, this farm aid bill, this farm bill is in play, and then you've got this new effort to try to remediate some of the damages of the tariff ever caused to farmers and prices there. This is another item that the House has been working very hard on, but once again, the Senate comes into play.
Yeah, the Senate will have to. I mean, we're going to go to conference, which means the Senate has passed a bill, we've passed a bill. And now staff and probably the senior members of the Ag Committee are meeting now throughout this month and trying to reconcile the differences. I guess the interesting thing, the big holdup is the food stamp debate. And I've been talking about it quite a bit over the last couple of days because, we have more jobs available right now than people looking for jobs. The whole debate is, not to depriving people who are disabled or people who have a dependent kids who, you know, have to take care for kids and are of lesser means. The real debate is about the working poor, those who can access jobs which are available And should we not encourage them to look for jobs and get in the workforce? It's better for them. It's good for the company. I toured a company. I was in Dayton, Ohio, with another member on Monday. I toured a company. They're looking for 290 employees, 290. And that was one of three companies that I visited that day. So this whole debate is, it's better for everybody if we get people back into the workforce. They get good health care. They're earning their own wage. They have their self concept goes up. The self esteem raises. So that's really that debate, and that's why the ag bill is slowed up, because of this discussion about trying to encourage people to find jobs.
And that's the singular component, do you feel, that's holding it up? It's not sums, numbers, anywhere like that. It's the work component itself. Mike had shared a similar thought with me.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that really holds it up.
Right. You know, this last Tuesday, the primaries in five different states in Ohio, and everybody has drugged the tea leaves out of their cups and all see dramatically different futures as a derivative there, and everybody's going, well, we didn't win, but it shows we're going to. I mean, so do you have a takeaway, John?
Well, I've been following this very closely. It's again, that was a race in Ohio. Ohio's an interesting state because, not like Illinois where we have one humongous major city that dwarfs everything else, they have like five metropolitan areas. They have Dayton, they have Cincinnati, they have Cleveland, they have and Columbus is one of those. This is a district in the Columbus suburbs, so it does bring that component of suburbia, and we do have some challenges there. But I think some of the analysis is, as you get out to the what they call the exurbs, further out from suburbia and then rural America, Balderson did real well there. But these are snapshots in time. This is a race in August. It's hard to get people's attention. People are on vacation. School hasn't started yet. That's why people really don't know. I think Republicans are happy. It looks like we're going to win that race. Democrats are happy because they can make the claim that they ran close in historically has been a strong congressional district. So I just say I'm glad that thing looks like it's over and we move to the next one.
You know, it's interesting because the term self-proclaimed Democrat socialist, and I wonder how that is going to play in the midterms.
Well, I mean, I think the Democrat Party is in trouble. I mean, they can't define themselves, and they're being defined by the far left. Socialism is a means to redistribute wealth by controlling the means of production and industry and apportioning that out. I mean, that's why they push a one payer system. But look at the other things that they're running on. They're no borders. They're running on no ICE, which is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. There was just a story yesterday about I don't like the term ICE, but that's what it goes by. Custom enforcement cracked down on work jobs in which they were abusing illegal immigrants. So just the opposite of what the Democrats are trying to portray, this agency went to the aid of, in essence, human slavery in the workforce. And so I think they're in trouble. For us on the Republican side, you know, we've had our own internal debates and discussions, but it's nowhere near the huge difference that we see right now in the Democrat Party.
Headline I saw out of Las Vegas Sun, dated July 14th, Illinois congressman is back to waste more time at Yucca Mountain. All right, now, and here's the thing. Oh, gosh, look. John Chimkus is at a coal event, right? Terrible thing. And the same people saying you're wasting time trying to find some place to put nuclear waste. They'll be the same people. I'll bet good hard money on it. And here's the thing, from a state where most of our electricity is ultimately derived from nuclear power, last time I checked, this is an important subject. We have a good bit of it up on the North Shore in Chicago,
yeah.
And it has to have a place. And Yucca Mountain, from the way it looks, they want the money for the place to store it, but they don't want to store it.
Yeah, I think in the end, I'm kind of optimistic we're going to win this fight. This is an NIMBY issue. It happens all over the country. Politicians have used it to scare their citizens. That's why I go out there. I bring members of Congress. I bring folks from the administration, because I have to re-educate people because the Obama administration broke the law and stopped spending money on there. And so there's a lot of members who they've had cast a few votes, but they really don't know the whole history behind this. So that's why I do what I do. It's based upon the nuclear portfolio of the state of Illinois, but it's also happens to be under my committee of jurisdiction, and it's a good fight, and I'm cautiously optimistic we're going to see some movement forward by the end of this year.
Have you seen the improvements at the VA that you would have hoped for by now?
No. I mean, it's hit and miss. I really struggle. You've heard me say it numerous times that I have veterans who love the VA or swear by the VA. They'll go no other place. And I still have veterans who swear at the VA. I do think that the VA itself knows that it's being watched extremely closely, and that that's causing them to up their game. I know you follow the Marion facility very closely. I also have Danville. I think the reports there from veterans are pretty positive, the after-action reviews based upon their visits there. But the VA also is challenged with being in locations where they're having a hard time finding doctors. So if that, as we've seen in the past, that might cause you to not get the best doctors. And we all want the best doctors. But if they're not willing to go, how do you provide?
I've met with doctors who are being recruited to the VA in Marion. And they told me there was an added bonus because of the cultural nature of the area not being fully. There was some unique term, and I dug on it. I can't remember what it is, Congressman. I know. Yeah. I know. I didn't like it, but I get it at the other end too.
Yeah, that's why a lot of us like the VA Choice program, and it's still a work in progress. But we ought to let the veteran decide where they want their care. The VA should fight for the right to care for these veterans, and I think that would up their game versus care being received in the private sector. But if the veteran has no faith and confidence in the VA, then they ought to be able to go wherever they want to go. And then we'll see by people voting by their feet, where is the best care.